Live at the Dive with WDIR, Windsor Detroit Internet Radio. It's local, cross-border, and worldwide online, WDIR.net. It's Windsor Detroit Internet Radio, Live at the Dive.
The opinions and views in the following program are those of the hosts and their guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of WDIR. WDIR.net, Windsor Detroit Internet Radio, local, cross-border, and worldwide.
It's that time. Wake up, Windsor. Wake up, Detroit. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
Yes, we are your hosts, Big JD.
And I am Lippo.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Big JD, how you doing?
Isn't it you that usually ask me first?
Yes, but you opened your trap first. Oh.
And so here we are in our new place.
It's nice here. New digs. I love what you've done with the place.
At WDIR.
Oh, right. And we're calling the show Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
That's right.
That sounds familiar. How come?
Because that's the show that we did at CJM, actually. So... And here we are now at WDIR, and we've incorporated a couple other shows within this. And so that's kind of a whole new thing for us, and that's you talking to me now included with the hour Big JD and Lippo in the Morning show and your show. Tell us a little bit about that, actually.
Mike Talks Tech.
Yeah.
That's going to be another show that's... How should we say it? Is it embedded, incorporated?
It's part of the morning show.
Just part of the morning show. We got two segments. One's going to be Big JD's You Talking to Me. Now, are you going to be doing You Talking to Me on CJM?
I am still, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then at another point in this show, we're going to do a segment, which is going to be my show as well, which is called Mike Talks Tech.
Which will also be available as its own podcast.
Yes, I'm going to make it available as a standalone podcast, and it'll be... within a blog as well on MikeTalksTech.com.
iTunes too? Will you be submitting to?
Of course, yeah. Why not make it available to as many people as we can? Well,
that's what I'm talking about.
Should I make it available? Is there some place in the Google Play Store where I can...
The Google Play Store? Is that a new app?
You are seeming ignorant to all the people out there who are listening to this on Android devices. Google Play, that's where you get
people still use Android?
Yeah. It's a great system. Android, the new version has lots of features that I think a lot of people are really digging out there.
Cool.
And straight from the newsroom floor and the walls and the ceiling, it's time for news from around the world and sometimes out of this world from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
All right, here we are in the brand new WDIR newsroom for the first time with Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
Looks great in here. Can't wait to dig into
some... Do you love what I've done with the place?
I love it.
All right, great.
The floor could use a little work, but that's okay. You know that the...
There is no floor in here.
You know, well, that's how, off the newsroom floor. Remember, you just...
Oh, right. Okay.
You know the auto show's happening, right? Across
right,
the river?
Right, of course. Yeah. Who doesn't?
We can't go there yet. I think the public can go next week, but right now it's all press
stuff. I've been there.
You're part of the press.
It's a media thing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I know that. And so you know that Marchione was over there, who was my boss.
Yes.
He owns a lot of stuff, but I shouldn't say he runs a lot of stuff. He doesn't own anything. Well, he owns a lot of money. But anyway, his remark today has got a lot of people, whatever, up in arms or whatever. But he said that if we build Alfa Romeos in North America, they have to have WAP engines in them.
That's hilarious.
This, and he's Italian, so he can say that, just like all the black people can say the N-word when they're talking about their fellow man.
And I can say the H-word.
Sure. What do you got for news there, Big JD?
Switzerland's biggest watchmaker, Swatch, they'll pay about $1 billion to acquire Canada's Harry Winston watch and jewelry brand.
Harry's. Winston.
Mm-hmm.
Tastes good.
Harry Winston. Yeah. It's like, don't they also make cigarettes? Does that still exist, Winston brand?
Winston tastes good like a cigarette should.
Was that their slogan?
Yes, I think so.
And are they still around?
Is it Winston? Yeah, I don't know. Let's go to the States and see if we can pick up a pack of Winstons.
All right, we're on our way to Detroit. All right, we're talking about loosely talking about today on the show, pollution, emissions, anything like that. Garbage.
Garbage.
Yeah. Local trash.
Mm-hmm.
Anything like that. Duck cleaning.
Duck cleaning?
Do you even hunt? Sure. Duct cleaning. It's important.
I use duct
tape. And the
tape.
Illness costs of air pollution. You know?
Sure. There is some cost. And I'm not sure that we can get away from that.
Visits. Visits to hospitals and things like that. So
that we can reduce that by cleaning the air, is what you're saying?
Well, I'm sure we could by cleaning the air. It's when, you know, the show's not maybe necessarily on cleaning the air, but the pollution that's in the air. And my guest today on You Talking to Me is Brett LaJoy, who's an automotive professional, to talk about the new emissions test there. So,
no, what makes them an
all those of you getting your new Alfa Romeos
with the WAP engines in them.
You know, in what, 5-7 years, you're going to have to get an emissions test, and you'll have to succumb to the new test.
There's a new test. Did you know that?
Yeah.
A new drive clean test?
That's right. And that's what I talked to Brett on.
Okay. So we'll hear about that
as well.
So what makes him an automotive professional again?
He's been in the automotive business for a long, long time, since he was a kid. His dad was before him, too.
Oh, is that right?
Parts. Yeah. Pretty much parts supply and that kind of thing.
I started working at GM when I was 20-something.
That's not bad.
So I'm an automotive professional as well?
Yeah, I suppose you could be.
I know nothing.
Automotive, professional automotive builder.
Technician, assembly technician.
Is that what says on your resume?
Exactly.
Do you have a resume?
Of course not. What do I need a resume for?
I don't know.
Gainfully employed here at WDIR.
So, Do you regularly have, or is there any way for you to do yourself, clean your ducts? Can people do that on their own?
I don't think so. I should say yes, you can. There is ways to do it.
Vacuum cleaner.
Use the vacuum cleaner. And
HVAC.
Well, actually, a lot of people use two devices.
Okay.
What they do, they'll clean their where the air comes out of your registers. That's coming from your furnace.
Uh-huh.
So what you do is you block all your cold air returns. And you blow in each register with a leaf blower. And on the other end, in the furnace room, you have a wet vac in there. And it'll clean all the crap out of your ducts.
And some reasons why this is important is that the elimination or reduction of household allergens, such as mold, pollen, animal hair, and other contaminants, improved indoor air quality, elimination of house dust settling on furniture, and your HVAC system energy improvement. So, and then enhanced airflow for better heating and cooling, of course. And then to that illness cost of air pollution, if anybody's wondering what that costs us, the National Illness Cost of Air Pollution Study puts a dollar figure on the health and economic costs of air pollution in Canada. And this initiative has produced illness costs of air pollution, ICAP, as they like to call it, programs that can forecast health damages of each of the 10 provinces and for Canada as a whole.
What about the three territories?
Yeah, maybe they include that.
Okay.
Or does that make 13?
That makes 13, yeah.
That's unlucky, isn't it?
It's lucky. What are you talking about?
Hospital admissions associated with the exposure to air pollution were estimated for the two major causes of cardiovascular and respiratory illnesses, and the model prospects that almost 11,000 hospital admissions associated with air pollution will occur in 2008, increasing close to 18,000 by 2031. That's incredible.
So no dollar.
And age limit is mostly... They get into costs and everything, which we'll try and get into a little bit later in the show. Of course, okay. We're pressed for time here. And then ages seem to be primarily, though, over the age of 65, where most of these people are hospitalized for these things.
Hey, this is Jeff Burrows from the Tea Party and Crash Karma. You're listening to WDIR, kicking you in the face.
Result Makers is an elite recruiting and consulting team connecting professionals to the top performing businesses. Located in Troy, Michigan, call 248-251-0143 or visit resultmakers.net. That's resultmakers.net.
Scentsy is your safe, wickless alternative to scented candles. Call independent Scentsy director Kathy Kasborowitz at 519-733-6199 or check out the Scentsy banner ad at WDIR.net for Kathy's website. Wickless scented candles. Scentsy makes perfect sense.
ShaunToon.com is ready to take on your next 2D animation project. Sean Watkins is a professional Flash animator and graphic artist. Check out his work online at ShaunToon.com, ShaunToon.com.
If you're in need of professional video and film production or audio production, check out OMS Entertainment. Corporate, commercial, training, broadcast, podcast, real estate, or wedding. Located in Windsor, Ontario, visit OMSEntertainment.com.
Local, cross-border, and worldwide, and now live at the Local Dive. It's the home of Dive Radio, and it's WDIR, Windsor Detroit Internet Radio, online at WDIR.net.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
That's right, you're listening to You Talking to Me. I'm Big JD. Well, January 2013 brings us a new drive clean test that reads your car's computer history to see if your vehicle meets emission standards. Apparently, the new test is faster and more accurate, and it's 20% more effective in reducing pollutants. Longtime automotive industry professional Brett LaJoy is my guest today. Hi, Brett. How's it going?
Good, Big JD. How are you doing?
Good. Great to have you on the show. Let's start out, I guess, by a little bit of background on you. You've been in the automotive business for a long time.
Yeah, my father was a salesman at an automotive parts place, and pretty much, you know, worked my way up from emptying the garbages, cleaning the office, to pretty much did every job in an automotive jobber, they're called. That's they distribute parts to probably mostly commercial garages that install parts on your car. So mm-hmm. we get the parts to them, they put the parts on your car, and you go pay them.
Okay.
And I've been doing that, you know, I had a little bit of a stint being a service manager, which was a great look at the industry from a different perspective by all means, but I've probably been doing auto parts for about 38 years, so in Windsor.
Yeah. I want to ask you a little bit actually about sales in automotive. If you comb the city and you've covered every place, every garage and whatnot, then you're probably not anymore looking for companies to sell to. So how does it work? Do you broaden out outside of the city, or how does that work as far as what you do as a salesman with companies that you're already established with or that are already
buying from you? We're always looking for new business. There's no doubt there. I mean, every company nowadays and the way it goes. But we pretty much cater to mostly people in Windsor, mm-hmm. Commercial garages. And, you know, there's multiple parts places, so we're always fighting for the Windsor business. You know, somebody might change over to you, and you lose somebody else to a different parts
sure.
place. It's always
mm-hmm.
a big game like that. So you really hope you can just keep all your clients happy and hope they can keep all their clients happy. You know, and if it goes like that, I guess it's good. It's been tough in the last, probably in my life, since I was a little kid. I've never seen it so... I mean, you know, they had a big thing about a recession 3 or 4 years ago, but I really think people are really holding on and being tight now, because I've seen it in our business. The automotive repair, it just doesn't seem like the cars are being repaired like they were. And whether people are holding on to their money or not, I don't know, but it just seemed like with less leased cars out there, that means the car fleet must be older and people aren't getting their cars fixed as much.
Mm-hmm. And with all these things that have gone on within the auto industry, are there new garages popping up? Are there new, you know, part suppliers? Is that growing in any way? Is it staying the same as it's been? Has it been hurt bad?
You could probably say it's
a little bit everything.
Safe to say, yeah, it's probably safe to say it. It has expanded somewhat, yes, mm-hmm. but in the same token, it can only sustain so much. So maybe if you get a couple of people opening up, somebody might, unfortunately, might go out of business. So, I mean, if you ask for numbers, I bet you it probably hasn't changed much. I guess the good news for me is, you know, I'm out on the road every day, and I don't see a lot of them going out of business. So, I mean, times are slim, cars are built better, and people are not getting them fixed as much.
They will be now. We'll be getting into that, but
yeah. Well, you know, and some of it's been the industry has made cars where, you know, you don't have to get your oil changed for 12,000 kilometers now, 15,000 kilometers. They're telling you don't change your spark plugs for 100,000 kilometers.
Now, is that because we can get away without that, or is it because they want something to fail it within our engine so that we have to get something more done?
No, really, it's because they've made everything better. They really have. I mean, they didn't have platinum or iridium spark plugs 20 years ago. And with a tip like that on a spark plug, it will last a lot longer.
I wish I had those in my old 52 Panhead back
there
in the day.
Yeah.
And we want to primarily focus on emissions, the emissions test today, and you know, some of the changes and whatnot. So maybe you could tell us, give us a little background on where the emissions testing actually originated, because it was in California.
Well, right? You know, before I even talk about it, I just want to say it's purely my point of view and what I've witnessed in it. I did take the emissions orientation course for the first type of emissions testing they had. It has changed this January 1st, of course. But I'm only giving you what I know.
Yeah, there's the disclaimer right there.
Yeah.
The views and opinions.
So pretty much, I think most of our emissions is modeled off of the state of California, believe it or not. Because in the 60s, they realized early on that they had a smog problem because you had so many people and so many cars.
Sure.
And cars definitely weren't designed to run as efficient as they do now. So, you know, cars 35, 40 years ago in California were just creating smog in the valleys. And they caught on pretty quick that they needed to fix the emissions level or do something so the cars wouldn't create so much smog.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really see nowadays the way it goes is California usually makes a change, and pretty much within a year or two, you see Canada adopt it.
Isn't that the same as everything, the U.S. to Canada?
Well, I'm not saying U.S., I'm saying California.
Music?
It's really most of the states in the U.S. don't go with what California does. I mean, California is the state.
Isn't it its own country now? No?
Yeah, almost. It's almost floating away. But you know, a lot of states adopt it maybe later, but it's something that's controversial over there. Canada usually follows suit after they make a change in their, you know, their emissions levels. We will make a change after California. That's usually the way it goes.
And specifically back to emissions, tell us what the emissions test is actually and the difference between the old test and the new test they've implemented as of January, right?
Right. Well,
because the world didn't end in the end of 2012.
let me just give a little rundown on what happens. I mean, when they tried to improve emissions on your car, what they did was they added, in the beginning, a catalytic converter.
Right.
And we all have that on our cars now. And what that really is, everybody doesn't really know what it does. And poisonous gas.
Isn't that typical?
Yeah. Poisonous gas goes through your exhaust system. Your catalytic converter just looks like a bee honeycomb with a little dab of precious metal in each little honeycomb and platinum or some kind
of precious. That's why they cost so much for a catalytic converter. It's got precious metal.
Yeah, after they're used, they still want to get them off you.
Yeah.
Because they have precious metals in them. Precious metals and poisonous gas that goes through it. They all have odd molecules. So what happens is the poisonous gas goes by the metal. The metal says, I got an odd molecule. And if you remember in science, odd molecules want to attract to each other. So the odd molecule in the poisonous gas and the odd molecule in the catalytic converter precious metal gets dragged across to each other, and it forms a different gas. Sometimes it comes out as water. Sometimes it comes out as oxygen, carbon dioxide. It's changing your gas in your exhaust.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they started to do. So they realized, by the way, probably most of our environmental damage is probably done the 75 years prior that they...
With the vehicles that don't need testing.
Yeah, they have catalytic converters and there's blue smoke all over the place. But essentially, they've made changes. They put catalytic converter. Cars used to be carbureted. Now they're fuel-injected. Fuel-injected cars run so much better. And then the way they change the way the cars ignite... The spark has been transferred to do better separate coils on each cylinder. So everything they've done has improved the way a car will fire, so it won't have any waste byproduct or as much waste byproduct. Between what they've done there, what they've done with a catalytic converter, and ways that they monitor the catalytic converter with oxygen sensors and whatnot, we can't get into all that. But they've really improved the way a car runs in its exhaust. Cars are very clean compared to the way they used to. When the first emissions test came in, I'm not sure exactly what year that was, to be honest with you. But you, like most people know, that have to go every 2 years. You'd have to bring your car, and they'd put it on this machine, and it would roll the tires. It's called a dyno, and they'd have a little sensor in your exhaust, and they would sense those poisonous gases coming out of your exhaust. Every car had a maximum level on the three gases: hydrocarbons, carbon monoxide, and oxides of nitrogen. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stayed underneath those maximum levels they set after it ran on the dyno, you passed.
Right.
If your car blew one of those numbers over, it was probably because something on your car wasn't performing correctly, and that's what the government was really trying to nail. Is when they first come in, we were dealing with cars, people still owned cars that were 1985s. They didn't nowhere near have the technology in an 85 as they do now.
Right.
Even so, as the years went by with the old emissions testing, most cars were passing now. Because they've improved the way they, even if some systems on your car weren't running, it was still running clean. So they had to come up with a different way to check a car.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we've grown older with the emissions test, now an old car is a 99. And they had it down with science back then. I mean, if you look at the numbers on most of these cars, they're pretty clean.
Right.
They're pretty clean. The second... As of January 1st, second version of it, it's not quite the same. You're not running your car on a dyno. It plugs into your onboard diagnostic plug under your dash. Everybody has one. And it reads what are called the monitors on your car, that each monitor has a certain function, and you have like an EGR valve, mm-hmm. and you have oxygen sensors, and you have all these sensors to make your car run better. But if one of those systems is not working or it's not ready, that'll come up on their scanner, and that'll promote it to fail. They do allow your EVAP system, which tries to retain the gas fumes in your gas tank and recycle it back through the engine, under 45 degrees Fahrenheit, that won't run on your system. So, but it's plugged into your computer that way to not trigger your check engine light under 45 degrees. It just won't run under 45 degrees. So they're allowing for that to be not ready on the printout.
It was great to have you on, Brad. I really appreciate you coming and talking to us about this.
Good stuff. Thanks, Big JD.
Thanks. Of course, we all want the air that we breathe to be cleaner, and I'm sure we're all for assisting to make that happen. Drive safe. I know you'll all be driving clean. I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Hey, this is Jody Raffool, and you're listening to WDIR, Windsor Detroit Internet Radio, local, cross-border, and worldwide. And now, live at the Dive, the local dive, Visit WDIR.net. Let's get straight.
You're not fooling me. Okay, so you're listening to Big JD and Lip in the Morning on WDIR, Windsor Detroit Internet Radio. And we were talking about pollution, emissions, and things like that, and just had Brett LaJoy on You Talking to Me, talking about the new emissions test, which probably sucks for everybody. I want to get into some costs now of illness costs of air pollution in Canada. And so these go by region of the Western, Central, and Atlantic in 2008, and these are in millions, almost 2 million in 2008 in the Western area of the country, costs for illness costs in of air pollution. Centrally, 5.5 million, and Atlantic, 508 million. And these estimations climbing in 2031 in the West is
2031.
Okay. Yeah. It's a little ways off. And I wonder why they project that far. So that they can show big numbers, perhaps? Like how it's gonna get so bad. Well, yeah, of course it is in 8 million years from now. Well, not that it's 8 million, but no, I mean, you know, why don't they project like in the next 5 years, like while we're all still around, right?
I hope we're gonna be here in 15 more years.
Well, I guess, but I mean, that's still a longer time away. Than,
oh, for sure.
Or show, well, they show 2015 and 2031. So let's go with 2015. So those numbers will climb from nearly 2 million to over 2 million, essentially from 5.5 million to 6.5 million. And then in the Atlantic area, 5 million to over 6 million in 2015. And so by 2031, though, 257, I guess that would be 257 million dollars, almost $258 million cost.
If we kept
from air pollution.
Yeah, if we kept going at the same pace.
If we keep going at the same pace, and do you think that'll change much
over time? I think technology, as it pertains to automotive emissions, will definitely change. What if we all go to electric cars?
Yeah,
by 2031 that.
But that's just a small part of it. I mean, vehicles is one part of it.
And then
what
about the
plants
that?
Well, what about the plants that make them? That's a big part. I mean, that's these are players in you know the vast scheme of things.
Yeah.
So you know, there's a lot of fact. And I just watched NBC Nightly News or whatever it was that were showing China, the horrible pollution in China. And you can't even see in front of you. It's crazy. And how will that ever change? You can't change that.
Yes, you can.
They say even people aren't even supposed to be outside there.
I know. It's crazy. And it was really bad at the beginning of the... at the beginning of the 20th century in downtown London and, you know, New York. And when the Industrial Revolution happened, all that was the same way here.
Yeah, I guess things have changed. But, I mean, that's pretty bad. And they say there are factors that cause that, you know, with less... wind and you know those kinds of things and why it gets worse at times, but I mean it's still it's like that's pretty horrible. And of course in like Lana's hometown in Europe in it's former Yugoslavia and there's where she's from is like Zenica area and it's just like horrible there, man. You can't like see in front of you.
Oh, it's bad there as well.
Yeah, there's factories there that don't and I don't think they do anything about those emissions.
They don't do anything. There's no rules.
No, it's
in place.
Crazy. You should see that. Like the whole city is just smog filled. It's horrible. And their parents live there. Crazy.
And so they're thinking that as long as we're producing something and the taxes are being paid, that's all we really care about right now. People's welfare is being put off to the side, I guess.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And there's reasons for that. I think it's because of the fact that. The factory, the head guy, basically, I guess that owns, you know, the factories there. He's the big money man, the head cheese, and I guess what he says goes because he's got cash.
This is Freewheeling from Psycho. You're listening to WDIR, Windsor Detroit Internet Radio, local, cross-border, and worldwide. Broadcasting live at the Dive, the local Dive, located in McKinney Plaza at 13169 Tecumseh Road East in Tecumseh.
Four on the Floor is a local Windsor, Ontario music documentary film. The basis of the film is music as a universal language, whereby the local Windsor music scene is showcased through the past decades. If you would like to submit live video footage or music for inclusion in the film, visit four, on the floor.ca.
Are you looking for a new dentist? Dr. Letty is always accepting new patients.
Call her at 519-948-0101 or stop in at 2825 Lauzon Parkway. Do what you always wanted to do. Smile with confidence. Call Dr. Letty. I Do Wedding Videography, making wedding videography affordable for all couples. Visit idoweddingvideography.ca. No wedding video of your special day? That's simply not an option. If you're not in the shape that you want to be in, you need to call Life and Body. Call President Reno Perlin of Life and Body. Reno's a certified personal fitness trainer. Whether you want to lose weight or gain weight, call 519-250-LIFE. Life and Body. What's your life and body worth?
Local, cross-border, and worldwide, and now live at the Local Dive. It's the home of Dive Radio, and it's WDIR, Windsor Detroit Internet Radio, online at WDIR.net.
You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
So here we are still with Big JD and Lippo in the morning, the first Big JD and Lippo morning show on WDIR.
Good to be here.
And we've included you talking to me in the morning show and as well Mike Talks Tech.
That's right.
And that's your new tech talk show. That's a tongue twister.
It can be.
Tech tongue twister.
Yes. And
so what are you talking about on your show today, actually?
We're talking about maps.
Okay. Very cool.
Maps and technology and where that's all gone. I give a pretty lengthy history on GPS.
And do you get into various platforms of where maps can be used, like iPhone and Android? Do you get into?
Or I don't know if we just talk about maps too much in general. Specifically, you'll have to listen to it too.
Well, of course I will.
Get the gist of it.
I'm going to hear it in a couple minutes.
That's right.
What about carbon monoxide?
Well, you should have a detector in your house. That's one thing I know about carbon monoxide. You shouldn't breathe in it for too long.
Is it mandatory to have anything in your house, like a fire alarm?
I don't think so.
I don't think in residential.
Is it mandatory to have a smoke alarm?
A smoke alarm?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's just a residential home. If
I think
it's a duplex
homes
or
that are
right.
built have to have them wired in.
Yeah.
That's a code. I think that's been that way for a while. But as far as...
And so what if you move in to a brand new house and take it out?
Yeah. Are you breaking a law? That's a good question.
I think what it is, I don't think that it's actually mandatory by law, but I think it's mandatory for your home insurance. I think your home insurance company requires you to have that. And I think if you have a carbon monoxide detector as well, that there might be some, you know, a discount or I don't know what, but to have that, I guess, is some kind of bonus.
Yeah, because the carbon monoxide detector will help you. Your smoke detector will help your house as far as insurance costs go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
True. And in talking a little about carbon monoxide, what is carbon monoxide?
One part carbon, two
it's
parts.
It's no part anything. It's just CO.
CO.
It's an odorless, colorless gas that can cause sudden illness and death. And where is it found? It's found in combustion fumes, such as those produced by cars and trucks, small gasoline engines, stoves, lanterns burning charcoal and wood, and gas ranges and heating systems. Now, when we used to, years ago, when I was younger and inside our garage, we had a wood stove, and we used to burn, actually, we used to get coal quite often and wood and burn it in there for... You know, hanging out in there for working on the cars, working on bikes, band rehearsals and stuff. Yeah, yeah, we'd get coal actually,
like chunks.
But I wonder how bad that was for us to breathe in all the time in there. Carbon monoxide one.
Yeah, you seem to be all right now,
except for this bad twitch.
The twitch.
So, yeah, those are things that you would want to be concerned with and make sure you have proper ventilation. And what are the symptoms of CO poisoning? CO.
So that's one part carbon, one part oxygen.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah. It is actually. Carbon and oxygen.
Yep.
Mixed together produce carbon monoxide.
Well, if you have two parts oxygen, it would be carbon dioxide.
Right. Why don't they just call it carbon oxide?
It is.
Yeah, but why carbon monoxide?
Because it's only one part oxygen.
Well, why doesn't carbon have like a one before it? So carbon monoxide. Is what I'm saying.
Oh, I see. Why isn't it carbon
or carbon
oxide?
Carbon mon. monoxide.
Carbon man.
You got carbon man. What are the symptoms? The most common symptoms of...
Is that twitch?
of carbon monoxide poisoning are headaches, dizziness, weakness, nausea, vomiting, chest pain, and confusion.
Oh, I feel that way right now.
Very confused about all of this. And so a very dangerous thing. How does carbon monoxide poisoning work? Well, red blood cells pick up carbon monoxide quicker than they pick up oxygen.
Oh.
If there's a lot of carbon monoxide in the air, the body may replace oxygen in blood with carbon monoxide. So very, very dangerous thing. Be careful.
Hi, this is Mo Rotundi coming to you live down at WDIR.net, live from the dive down here in Tecumseh. We're going to have a little lunch. They got great food down here, so check it out always. WDIR rocks. This is Mo Rotundi from Destroyer, the ultimate Kiss tribute. Walks by moonlight.
Hi there, everybody. This is Mike LaPlante, and you are listening to Mike Talks Tech. You may know me from previous endeavors that I had partaken in, the Easy Mac podcast and the Border City Radio podcast, the Jabbercast with Big JD, and I also worked with Big JD doing some local radio work here in the Windsor, Detroit area. However, the show that we're embarking on now is going to be based mostly on consumer technology, and we talk about TVs, mobile devices, computer type stuff, home theater, you know, that kind of stuff. This week, we're going to be talking about maps and mapping technology. A lot of us taking our technology on the go, and we use maps on a regular basis, either on our tablets, on our cell phones, smartphones, and some of us also use standalone GPS units as well. First, a little history on where this all began. How did we go from pulling out a map out of the glove department, that would be the glove compartment, otherwise known as the GC, go from that totally analog experience to having some man or woman from any area of the world that we want to choose, even Homer Simpson, can tell us that we need to turn right at the next intersection to get to that sushi restaurant we're looking so forward to? Well, in 1957, the former USSR launched the first man-made satellite, and that, of course, was Sputnik, Sputnik 1. And with this satellite, scientists quickly realized that they could use the Doppler effect to find the orbit of the satellites. Then they realized, well, let's turn that around. And then we'll know the location of any receiver on Earth. We'll know that its location in relationship to the satellite. And if we map the entire world, or even one city, we'll know within that relative plane that where we are in accordance to that satellite. The foundations of the modern GPS were laid during the early 1960s by the U.S. military. The various branches of the military each had their own idea of what they wanted to incorporate into this system. And eventually, in 1973, a design that incorporated elements from each of the, I don't even know what they're called, you know, the Navy, the Air Force, the Army, branch. Their branches, all three designs were incorporated into one. And the system was known to become Navistar. The first satellite for the new Navistar GPS was launched in 1974. And the last one was launched in 1993. So they had to get 24 satellites up in the sky to cover all 24 time zones. And that took 19 years. That is a long time to set up this system. Initially, GPS was only intended for military use, but then in 1983, there was the Korean jet that got shot down over Russia that led to President Reagan saying that we can't have this kind of accident happen again. We're going to make GPS available for civilian use as well. And of course, once all the satellites were up in the sky, it wasn't long before the proliferation of standalone GPS units became available. Initially, they were somewhat expensive, hundreds and hundreds of dollars for some of the nicer units. You know, the display technology was also in its infancy back then. Now, initial GPS units relied mostly on mapping data that was provided by the government. And it was adequate, for sure. However, there was another company that came up out of California called Navtech. And it was started by a couple of guys who just wanted really good mapping data for the San Francisco area. And of course, they branched out quite a bit and they ended up mapping most of the world. And their data, Navtech's data, is used by countless companies out there for their mapping services. Yahoo, Nokia, which Nokia actually ended up buying Navtech, I forget when, year 2000 maybe, I'm not sure. But Nokia basically owns Navtech. So they own one of the premier mapping data companies out there. However, there's the behemoth that is Google and their mapping data. They're constantly improving and growing their mapping system and service, which you know, is just one small branch of the stuff that they do. So Google Maps, one has to wonder what a search engine was thinking when they decided to put resources behind a mapping service. What was their motivation behind doing this? This gives you an idea how forward-thinking Google was back in the day. They realized that they knew that the money was in the advertising, of course, because they were a search engine, and that's how they were making their money, and that's how they still make a lot of their money. And they realized that knowing where people are and sharing that geographical information with their friends, they're also going to be sharing that information with Google. And along with that, Google will share that information with advertisers. And that'll give us very specific geographical advertising prospects. How they thought of that back in, they started in 2005. And I think that was the year after they acquired the company that was started by a couple of other programmers. I think they were Danish, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, Google bought them and they launched the service in 2005. I think back then it was called Google Local. So you can see how back then they were thinking of mapping and local and being where your advertising advertisers are at. According to the wiki, Google Maps is a web mapping service application and technology provided by Google that that powers many map-based services, including Google Maps, the website, Google Ride Finder, Google Transit, and maps embedded on third-party websites via the Google Maps API. Of course, that allows other website developers to include Google Maps within their websites and, you know, add layers and add new functionality to the maps on these websites. It offers street maps, a route planner for traveling by foot, car, bike, or public transit, and an urban business locator for numerous countries around the world, which, you know, it's just such a common thing now. You just hear someone talking in their phone saying, you know, give me the location of the nearest pizza joint or the nearest sushi restaurant, or give me the number of a specific place so I can call ahead and make a reservation or order some takeout. When you ask for that information, of course, you get a map with that. Google Maps satellite images are not updated in real time. No kidding. That would be nice. They are several months or years old. Google Maps uses a close variant of the Mercator projection, so it cannot show areas around the poles. A related product that Google has is called Google Earth, which is a standalone program, really cool program, that also offers lots of extra functionality, layers, and shows you where a lot of other stuff is. That program allows you to look at the poles. Satellite view within Google Maps is not necessarily all satellite imagery. Google Maps provides high-resolution aerial or satellite images for most urban areas all over the world. Most of the world's current satellite image is over 5 years old. Did not know that. And thus, not accurate in several places where urban architecture has been altered since. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember when Google Maps first came out, because before that, I think our options were Yahoo Maps, which I don't really remember too much about them, but I remember they existed. And MapQuest, the cool thing about Google Maps, I remember it was how they implemented JavaScript in there and how you were able to interact with the map. It was unlike anything we had used before, because if you wanted to move around on a map, you had to use navigational areas within the borders of the map you were looking at. Whereas with Google Maps, that's all you had to do was click and drag the map and new data would be introduced to your window. It was like a program within a web browser. It was amazing, I thought. And it was quick and responsive because of the way that they cached the data that was already downloaded to you, so it would have to keep redrawing if you kept going back to the same place. Then, in 2007, Apple introduces the iPhone. And included on the iPhone is a Maps application based on Google Maps. You could hear the death knell of GPS devices all over the world. Standalone GPS devices, that is. It turns out it wasn't really the death of these devices, because some people still need these devices. One advantage that the standalone GPS devices have is that no data plan is required. You buy the device, the maps are included, and you can go anywhere, and it'll tell you how to get there. Those maps, of course, need to be updated. And that's where these companies make their money, you buying updated versions of their maps. So there is that route to go, is standalone GPS. However, there are other ways to not have a data plan and still be able to carry your maps with you. TomTom has a map application called Navigon. And basically what you do is you download the maps that you need, whether it's a state or a province, if you're in Canada, where I'm at, and you just download the maps that you require for any trip, and you don't have to keep, you know, all 50 states and all 10 provinces and 3 territories on your device. So that is one solution you can have, as opposed to carrying a standalone GPS device. Another mapping solution out there is called Waze. Relatively newcomer to the maps scene is Apple. Their decision to oust Google from their mobile devices and introduce their own mapping data into their Maps app came up against a lot of criticism, that's for sure. The map that they have on their devices is definitely quite a bit inferior to the Google app, which, you know, Google is probably the best as far as, you know, what they integrate into their map services. And I'd have to say Apple is the worst, only because they're brand new. It's hard to be a newcomer and, you know, you're supplanting the best one that was out there. So it's a tough road to hoe, but Apple, I think, is up to the challenge. And I think within a few years, their maps will be on par with at least most other mapping solutions for mobile devices. Well, that's all the time we have for this week, everybody. Thanks a lot for downloading and listening to the show. I appreciate it very much. As you know, this is the very first show, and we have nowhere to go but up from here. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.
Result Makers is an elite recruiting and consulting team connecting professionals to the top-performing businesses. Located in Troy, Michigan, call 248-251-0143 or visit resultmakers.net. That's resultmakers.net.
Scentsy is your safe, wickless alternative to scented candles. Call independent Scentsy director Kathy Kasborowitz at 519-733-6199 or check out the Scentsy banner ad at WDIR.net for Kathy's website. Wickless scented candles. Scentsy makes perfect sense.
ShawnToon.com is ready to take on your next 2D animation project. Sean Watkins is a professional Flash animator and graphic artist. Check out his work online at ShawnToon.com, ShawnToon.com.
If you're in need of professional video and film production or audio production, check out OMS Entertainment. Corporate, commercial, training, broadcast, podcast, real estate, or wedding. Located in Windsor, Ontario, visit OMSEntertainment.com.
WDIR, Windsor Detroit Internet Radio, local, cross-border, and worldwide. And now, live at the Dive. That's right, the local dive in Tecumseh. WDIR, broadcasting live at the Dive. Check out WDIR.net.
Okay, so we've been talking about pollution and emissions and things on the show today.
Mm-hmm.
Ducks, duck cleaning. Have you ever had issues with pollution yourself in any way?
I think when I worked at the trim plant, there was a lot of material there. And I think there was a high concentration of just airborne crap floating around that we breathe in. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, I think it affected me health-wise. As far as, you know, nasal and breathing and stuff like that, for sure.
Something that affected you just at the time or something that still
just
affects?
Just at the time. I think I've been out of there for 20-something years now. It's whatever. I feel better, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I could tell when I worked there that it was difficult to breathe. And, you know, you just wake up in the night and you're just all clogged up. And so, yeah, that's the only thing I've ever experienced. What about yourself?
I can't say that anything in particular that, I mean, there's the instances where there's more pollution than other times somewhere or something's more dusty than, you know, but not really anything that I can think of that really interfered with my life in some way. You know right. what I mean? But obviously working at the plant at Chrysler or something like that, then you know that there's pollutants in the air. I mean, you look at the fans and see all the buildup that's on those of this black, dusty material.
Yeah, there is some like dirt and dust in factories, that's for sure. And there's a lot of lubricants that are mystified. Like, you know, there's all, everything in there runs on air pretty much. And every one of those airlines has oil in it. Mm-hmm. And when it comes out of your gun, it's up in the air and the oil grabs onto that and it's on your fans, it's in your lungs.
Now, they have anything in place there really for, I know they have, didn't they restructure all the ventilation and stuff like that in there or something to make, for air quality control?
I think
at some
they're always
point,
trying to improve the air quality. And I mean, to have cars running indoors and, you know, have that ventilation system in there, I'm sure there's people that are constantly working on that to keep.
Yeah. Know. Yeah. That's a big part of it too. Have all the running vehicles.
There's gotta be a lot of rules in place. I'd have to imagine as far as certain parts per million floating around in the air of whatever.
ISO 9000.
That's an old one. Isn't
whatever
it?
They are. 3000, 9000. 12,000, they up to 12,000 now?
It was 9,001, 9,000, then went up to 9,003, I think, and then went up to 14,000. I think it's 20,000 now.
20,000?
20,000.
20,000. You would like 20,000? yeah, and then there's the factories around here, and do we still have those, I think maybe it's in Detroit, where you see those towers up with a fire burning out of the top of them and everything? That can't be good for us.
Towers with fire burning on the top?
Yeah, do you remember though? You look over at the island, Zug maybe, I don't know where, but you see fire burning out of the towers. You've seen that. You must have. You're from way too far out in the other county.
Yes, I am.
You know what I'm talking about though?
No, I don't.
Well, what about when you go down river on I-75 and you see, and they have all that industrial area and out there it's pretty bad.
Fords.
Is that what's out there?
Yeah. River Rouge?
Yeah.
River Rouge?
Yeah, yeah. So
my tongue today.
but I think it's out there that where those towers with the burning fire coming out of them. I don't know if they do that anymore then. Yeah, I'm surprised that you're not aware of that.
I know of a tower where fire comes out of, and that's when they're pumping for oil. Out where I live, there's oil wells out there.
Oh, out there they do that?
Yep.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that happens out there.
Yeah, and there's natural gas that is trapped in the same.
Oh, hold on a sec. I got some natural gas.
No. Talking about emissions. So when they,
light?
When they bring the oil up out of the ground, there's a lot of trapped natural gas in between the surface of the planet and the oil. So they burn all that off. And then there's a big flame that comes out of the top.
That's craziness.
Well, there's other kinds of pollution as well that we didn't talk about, and we'll talk about those after...
Quotes and quips.
Quotes and quips, yeah.
You know what I heard, though?
What'd you hear?
I heard that rock and roll ain't noise pollution.
Where did you hear that? Is that our buddy Brian?
Brian Johnson from AC/DC.
Hey, this is Jeff Burrows from the Tea Party and Crash Karma. You're listening to WDIR, melting your face as you listen to amazing radio.
And now it's time for Quotes and Quips.
And now this quote actually is ideal because I wanted to talk a little bit about other types of pollution. And this comes from Theodore White. You know Teddy White?
Ted White.
Of course. You know Ted White. The flood of money that gushes into politics today is a pollution of democracy.
Pollution of democracy. P.O.D.
Another good band.
Yeah, P.O.D. is a good band for sure. But that, what does that stand for, P.O.D., for real, the dudes? P.O.D., do you know what it stands for?
Oh, yeah, something payable on death, I guess is what it is, yeah. So, the flood of money that gushes into politics today is a pollution of democracy. Is money a pollution?
Money is pollution in the context of democracy, yes.
Mm-hmm.
If the environment
there shouldn't
is
be any money.
Exactly. It should all just be living on faith. It
leads to evil and greed. And more pollution.
Pretty much, yes.
So that leads me into discussion on other forms of pollution, like you'd mentioned, Brian Johnson, noise pollution. Noise can be pollution.
Yes, but rock and roll isn't noise pollution.
No, rock and roll is not noise pollution, but there is such thing as noise pollution.
Positively, yes. And I think everybody's threshold for noise and when it actually becomes a pollutant of sorts is different.
Sure.
In a lot of
it's what you can tolerate or what's annoys you or what
noise
is.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah. What could be detrimental to your health.
That's what it is. And how can noise pollution be detrimental to your health?
Hearing.
You lose your hearing.
Yeah. So if you're playing a rock and roll band, you might want earplugs. Do you use earplugs at all?
During practice, I have plugs.
I have sweet earplugs that knock everything down by 12 decibels.
Yeah, so you don't want to knock everything down.
It just brings everything lower.
You don't want to bring everything lower, though.
Well, yeah. My amp's up higher. That's because my ears are lower.
No, there's certain frequencies that you don't want to bring down.
If you bring everything down as a whole, it's the same thing. That doesn't make a difference.
Okay.
You don't want to bring individual frequencies down. But bringing everything down as a whole is the same as keeping those frequencies where they were with everything, right?
Sure.
So.
And you use those yourself?
Heroes. I use them all the time, yeah. I even use them at the club when there's bands playing.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
But you don't use them during recording, though, do you?
Not recording, no. No, because I can adjust headphones then.
Exactly. You listen to everything with headphones on.
Okay, well, that's it for today's show. The first Big JD and Lippo in the Morning on WDIR, Windsor Detroit Internet Radio, live at the Dive, the local Dive, 13169 in Tecumseh, on Tecumseh Road in Tecumseh.
Ontario.
Canada. And we'll be here every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m.
You bet.
You talking to me and Mike Talks Tech Inclusive, and we'll see everybody next week.
Thanks for listening.
We hope you have a great day, and be sure to join us here next week, same time, same place, for Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
Four on the Floor is a local Windsor, Ontario music documentary film. The basis of the film is music as a universal language, whereby the local Windsor music scene is showcased through the past decades. If you would like to submit live video footage or music for inclusion in the film, visit four onthefloor.ca. Are you looking for a new dentist? Dr. Letty is always accepting new patients. Call her at 519-948-0101 or stop in at 2825 Lauzon Parkway. Do what you always wanted to do. Smile with confidence. Call Dr. Letty.
I Do Wedding Videography, making wedding videography affordable for all couples. Visit idoweddingvideography.ca. No wedding video of your special day? That's simply not an option. If you're not in the shape that you want to be in, you need to call Life and Body. Call President Reno Perlin of Life and Body. Reno's a certified personal fitness trainer. Whether you want to lose weight or gain weight, call 519-250-LIFE. Life and Body. What's your life and body worth?
Local, cross-border, and worldwide, and now live at the Local Dive. It's the home of Dive Radio, and it's WDIR, Windsor, Detroit Internet Radio, online at WDIR.net.